John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse number 9, the words of the Lord Jesus, when he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Now, a second reading in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And again, the words of the Savior in verse number 20. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. One final reading back in the Gospel of Luke, 18, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. I don't think it's very difficult to see that what we have read tonight concerns the very simple truth of doors. One of the appealing features of God's Word is its absolute simplicity. God speaks simply that we might not miss the message. And as the Lord Jesus comes to this wonderful statement in John chapter 10, verse 9, he says very simply, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Now, when it comes to the simple truth of doors, we find that doors are a part of our everyday lives. From the bedroom doors, to the car doors, to the office doors, to the school doors, we are always pushing doors open. And of course, sometimes we use the image of a door to describe a door of opportunity, or a door of advancement. And we are thinking of the truth that something opens up to us to allow us access for gain. Access to continue on. And I find it interesting that when we come to the Word of God, the Bible, that the Bible is full of doors. We find in the first book of our Bible, Genesis chapter 6, that we're brought face to face with a large ark or a large boat. It's about to be a boat of salvation, a boat of safety. It was just before the flood. And on the side of that ark was a door that was open that would very soon swing shut. We have read one of the last mentions of the door in Revelation chapter 3. And we find that as we look at Revelation chapter 3 that we have the image of a door that's shut, that needs to be opened. And midway between these two outstanding examples is this wonderful verse in John chapter 10, verse 9, the words of the Lord Jesus, where he says, I am the door. Do you know that John chapter 10, verse 9 is the wondrous statement from God that he has provided a way of access to heaven? Maybe tonight you're wondering, what is the right road to heaven? Perhaps you have lain on your bed from time to time and you've wondered, am I really on the right road? Have I entered the right door? Perhaps there are young people and maybe you've never thought about it. But you see, we are on the journey of time called life. We had a beginning. There's a moment coming when we'll have an end as far as this life is concerned, and then we will step into the great beyond called eternity. And God's Word makes it very clear that there is a heaven And God's Word makes it very clear that there is a hell. And in John chapter 10, verse 9, God gives us this statement through the lips of His Son, where He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. And tonight we are able to tell you with the authority of God behind us, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the door to heaven. Do you know that there was a moment when there was no door? There was a moment when our first parents made a choice. They had been made in fellowship with the God who had created them. They had been surrounded with every blessing possible for their welfare and for their spiritual well-being. But you'll recall in Genesis chapter 3 how our first parents made a choice. And they chose to disregard the Word of God. They chose to go their own way. And by a deliberate act of disobedience to the Word of God, they plunged themselves into the awfulness of sin. And suddenly a wall went up. Suddenly a great gap appeared. Suddenly that distance was a reality separating them from God. And I wonder, no doubt they longed to find a way back. Perhaps as I'm speaking to someone here, you have come into circumstances in your life, perhaps maybe a bad deal. And as that deal has solidified around you and you realize, I've made the wrong deal, you've longed for a way back. Perhaps you've hired a lawyer to try and reverse that contract terms. Perhaps you have lain awake at night trying to figure out, how can I reverse this? And when it came to the awful reality of sin, and as the reality of that desperate condition settled down upon this world, there's been many a person they've wondered, is there a way back? Is there any hope? Is there a way to heaven? John chapter 10 verse 9 is the answer. Because into this world came a man. Who is he? His name is Jesus. The angel could say, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when the Savior came, when the mighty Creator stepped into this world, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to restore that which he took not away. He came to be the door to heaven. And a moment came when he, bearing his cross, went forth. He went out to Skull Hill. He went out to make payment for our sin. Because you see, friend, there's no way back to God until that wall of sin is removed. And there in the agonies of Calvary and the awful sufferings of the tree, as the darkness of God's wrath and judgment fell upon the sin bearer, and as he finally came to the end of that time of suffering and payment, he made that one triumphant cry, finished! And the Bible says the veil of the temple, that heavy veil that had kept man out from the presence of God, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And God gave a graphic picture of what Calvary had brought. A door was opened. And over that door is God's welcome sign. Tonight we can tell you there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open that all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You know, there are some people and they say, you know, what you preach in the gospel is very, very narrow. And they somehow think that getting to heaven is like getting to Toronto. Because, of course, from various directions you can come to this city. You can come from the east as I did, or you can come from the west, north, south. You can come by air, rail, ship, or car. And people have the mistaken notion that getting to heaven is just like getting to Toronto. That you come your way, I'll come my way. And when they hear these words, they say, that's too narrow. I feel I should be able to come whichever way I want. But you know what amazes me? What amazes me is that it is not the fact that there's only one door, and that door is Christ. But what overwhelms me tonight is that there's a door at all. Do you understand that God was not obligated to provide a way back? God didn't have to save us. God didn't have to send His Son. Jesus didn't have to come and die at Calvary. But God's grace and God's love toward this world was so great that the Bible says God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. And at Calvary, and through the work of the Savior, a way back was opened. A Savior was given. And tonight, the only way to heaven and the only man that's able to forgive your sins is this blessed man of John 10, verse 9, the Lord Jesus. For He said, I am the door. But He said, by Me, if any man enter in. And I trust you understand that there is a personal choice involved here. You see, no one is born on the way to heaven. No clergyman, however high he might be, is born on that road. We are all born on the broad road. We are all born as sinners. And God makes it very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there must come a moment in our life when we personally receive Him. Or in the terms of John 10, verse 9, where we enter in. I am the door, He could say, by Me if any man enter in. And so the question of this meeting tonight here in this collegiate is a simple one. Have you entered in? I'm not asking you if you're a member of the church. I'm not even asking you if you say the Lord's Prayer or if you take the communion. God asks you, have you entered this door? Have you received Christ as your Savior? As your only door to heaven? I'm afraid too many try and include themselves in just a kind of a general coming, and we say, well, we're all Christians. But you notice Jesus said, this is personal. And I'm so thankful that 25 years ago, I discovered that the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. And based upon what He said, and based upon what He had done, I entered in and came into the blessed results of John 10, verse 9. For the Lord Jesus said, I am the door, by Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out. And shall find pasture. Mr. Oliver was referring to the blessedness of God's salvation in life. And I want to say there's no greater blessing in this world than to know that sins are forgiven and that I am saved from wrath to come. What can equal joy divine, or what could sweeter be than to know your sins are all forgiven for time and for eternity? And as the Lord Jesus speaks these words, he says, that person that enters in, that person that comes and receives me, he could say, that person shall be saved, delivered from the wrath to come. And as I read those words, I can't help but think of Genesis chapter 6, where God's judgment was about to fall. God in his wisdom and God in his grace told Noah to build the ark. And the moment came when that ark was finished. The door was still open. And the voice of the Lord came from inside that ark, come. And a man and a woman and three sons and three of their wives went in through that door. And the Bible says, God shut the door. What does that mean? It means that as they entered that door entered that ark through that door, they were saved from the wrath to come. And as they entered that door, they were absolutely secure, for God shut the door. And tonight I am thankful for such a salvation. I'm thankful that when God saves a soul, they can never be lost. And the blessedness of John 10 verse 9 is simply this. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you saved tonight? Tell me, what side of the door are you on? One door and only one. Yet its sides are two. Inside and outside. On what side are you? I think of the Savior's words, he shall find pasture. Tonight, there's a lot of people in this world and here in Toronto, and likely in this meeting, and you would like to be satisfied. You would like to find something that gives you peace. And for those that enter in through this door who receive Christ, they are brought into the blessing of salvation with all of its fullness. They are brought into the liberty that the Lord Jesus alone can give. They are brought into the satisfaction that the forgiveness of sins alone will provide. And tonight I'd like to present to you the Lord Jesus as the only one who's able to bring you into every single blessing from heaven. To have Christ is to have all of the blessings. To be outside of Christ and outside of this door is to be lost. John chapter 10 verse 9 tells us the simple fact, Jesus Christ is the door. But I think of Revelation chapter 3 as another vital truth that affects this meeting. Because that verse tells us of the very, very far-reaching reality of Christ now at the door. John 10 verse 9, Christ as the door. Revelation 3:20, Christ at the door. And you'll understand that Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 tells us of the Lord Jesus as he's speaking to a group of Christians, an assembly of Christians, and tragically and sadly he's on the outside. And so he stands and he says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. And what marked that assembly, that church, marks many a heart in our meeting tonight. Christ is on the outside of your life. Christ has been on the outside of your plans. Is it possible that Christ has been on the outside of your preparation for eternity? But all you see, the God of salvation comes with an interest in you. And you know, that's why you have been willing to come to a meeting like this. And if this is your first meeting, a very special welcome. Why have you come? Because God is interested in you. And as we look at Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, we find these wonderful words, behold, I stand, that's the Savior, at the door of your life and heart, and I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sit down with him, and we will have sweet fellowship together. What amazes me about Revelation 3:20 is that we have read of a knock and we have read of a voice. And you know, the kindness of God knocks in our life. Sometimes he comes in just to get our attention, just to make us aware of his interest and to make us aware of our need, and to focus for us where we're headed, and to awake us from our dreams and our illusions and our sleep of death. And so he knocks. There was a young man one time who had a lovely family. He was a good father, but tragically this man had no time for God. He was busy with other concerns, until one day his little daughter took sick. And before they could do anything for her, she breathed her last and was gone. And a man, heartbroken along with his wife, stood a few days later by that graveside. And as he watched that little casket being lowered, he turned to a friend of his and he says, "You know, this is God's voice to me. He was knocking." Sometimes God allows the blessedness of a Christian across your pathway. And some of you perhaps have watched as loved ones have come home with the news of salvation. And you've watched their life and you've seen the difference. What is that? That's God knock in your life. Because you see, he wants the same blessing for you. And when a person begins to understand someone is knocking at my door, at my life, if they're honest and if they're interested, they'll go to the door to see who's knocking. And that's why the Savior says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice." Who stands there tonight? The Savior of sinners is standing there. The one who longs to receive you to himself. The one who knows your sin. The one who knows the emptiness of your religious profession. The one who knows that you have nothing for eternity, though you think you have something for eternity. The one who swallowed all the empty bubbles of your life, and now he stands desiring to sit down with you and to bring eternal blessing into your life. Christ at the door. And we've been made keenly aware that Christ is at the door of individuals in this meeting. And he's knocking. And he's calling. And he's waiting. And he's waiting for a response. Do you know there's all kinds of responses when it comes to the door? I've been at doors where I know the people are inside, but they just don't want to answer the door. And as the knock is given, suddenly it goes all quiet. And you wait, and you knock a few more times, and there's not a movement. And then you get the message, and you just keep on moving. I've been at doors where the music and everything else inside is so loud that they don't even hear the knock. And you know, there's a lot of lives in this city of ours, and the music and the games are so loud, they miss God's knock. There are doors that they open and a person says, "Thanks, but no thanks. I'm just not interested." But there are doors and there are people who say, "I would like to hear more. Come in." And tonight, friend, it's not a preacher knocking at your door. It's the Savior. And he knocks with a personal interest in you because he doesn't want you to perish. And he wants you to be with him forever. Christ at the door tonight.
What will your response be?
I close with Luke chapter 13. This time it's all different. This time it's tragically different. In Luke chapter 13, we find that the Lord Jesus pulls aside the curtain with regard to eternity, with regard to coming days. He has already told people to make salvation their greatest ambition. He used a very strong word when he says, agonize to enter in. Could I say, unless you make one desperate effort to get in through that door, friend, you are going to miss salvation. Nobody drifts into heaven. Nobody will suddenly wake up in heaven and say, I didn't expect to be here. Heaven is a prepared place for those that receive the Savior. And what we have read in Luke chapter 13 concerns a day that will come when people will stand at a door, it's closed now, and they will knock. Lord, Lord, open to us. To put into our English, in our terms, they'll say, Lord, Lord, we'd like to be saved. Lord, we'd love to enter in now. And the Lord Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Did you notice what they say? Lord, they use the right words. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. They were associated with religious activity. Thou hast taught in our streets, Lord, we knew the Bible. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And sinners, unbelievers, will knock at a closed door that was once a door of salvation, and will be kept on the outside forever. Just a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of going to a mining town, Spring Hill, Nova Scotia. I'd heard an awful lot about Spring Hill. I remember memories from my youth of some of the explosions and bumps in those coal mines and of some of the tremendous and valiant efforts to recover people from those mines. And along with the rest of Canada, it seemed that we almost held our breath as various reports were received that life had been detected in some of those bumps. Men were still alive down there, and we waited until more news came that they had reached them. And then the rescue effort increased, and one by one men were brought out. And so when I came into Spring Hill, I immediately began to look around, wondering where these mines were. But I recall the story of one of those bumps. And after all kinds of rescue efforts, with the risk of explosions increasing, after doing all that they could, those mining officials made a choice, made a decision. For the safety of those involved, they were going to have to cap that mine shaft. All hope was gone. Those forms were quickly put in place, the concrete trucks were brought in, and that mine shaft was sealed. Tons of concrete. And loved ones turned away with heartbroken hearts. No hope. Do you know what amazed me and was a vivid, vivid lesson to me? That same mine shaft was opened at a later date. Concrete broken up and taken away. And as those workmen looked in disbelief. Just inside the rim of that shaft, just under the concrete, they found the remains of six men that had clawed their way to the surface, only to be met by a closed door. I tried to picture what it must have meant for those men. No doubt desperate. No doubt expecting to come into safety in life. And despite all their cries and their tears and everything that they could muster, they were on the wrong side of a closed door. So that you'll come to the wrong side of a closed door and you'll be left out forever. Christ is the only way. Christ is at the door tonight. Would you receive Him? Would you enter in? Let me just repeat the verse one more time. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall we pray? Our Father, we would bow tonight at the close of this meeting. We thank Thee again for the Savior. We watch in wonder and gratitude at His dealings with men and women. Every single individual was the object of His love. And tonight in this meeting, we thank Thee that the same reality is in view. We thank Thee for this wondrous door to heaven. We thank Thee for the awful sufferings of Calvary, that the door might be opened. And Father, tonight we thank Thee for His wondrous claim and invitation. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word tonight. We thank Thee for each one that has come and for the kind attention that has been given Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt follow it home, use it in convicting power, and we pray that souls would enter in and be saved tonight. For Thy glory and for their eternal blessing, take us home in safety, keep us in the fear of God, and bless Thy word for Christ's sake, we ask in His worthy and precious name. Amen.